الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers, beloved brothers in Islam, continuing with the tafsir Surah Al-Baqarah from tafsir Shaykh Sa'di rahmatullahi alayhi, verse 153 of Surah Al-Baqarah. It reads, سَيَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. 153 in English, please, or the interpretation of the meaning in English.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ
ممتاز. أمر الله تعالى المؤمنين بالاستعانة على أمورهم الدينية والدنيوية بالصبر والصلاة. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu commands the believers to seek aid regarding all of their affairs, to seek aid in all of their affairs, the religious ones and the worldly ones, through patience and prayer. فَالصَّبْرُ هُوَ حَبْسُ النَّفْسِ وَكَفُّهَا عَلَى مَا تَكْرَهُ. Let's first define patience. Patience is withholding from oneself that which you want and preventing it from what it does not like. And preventing it from doing, يعني, that which is not good for it, of course. فَهُوَ ثَلَاثَةُ أَقْسَامٍ. And patience is a three categories. We must know this, by the way. It's very fundamental. صبرها على طاعة الله حتى تؤديها. The first is being patient upon the obedience of Allah until it fulfills that obedience. So you need to have patience in terms of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وعن معصية الله حتى تتركها. And being patient from disobeying Allah until you're patient enough to leave alone that ma'siyah, that disobedience, that sin. وعلى أقدار الله المؤلمة فلا تتسخطها أو تتسخطها. And then be impatient regarding Allah's painful decree, so you do not become displeased with it. So then patience is three kinds. Be impatient in obeying Allah, such as going to the masjid to pray in jama'ah requires patience. If you don't have patience, you'll be lazy, you pray at home. The second kind is be impatient from disobeying Allah, refraining from sinning. For example, looking at women. You need to have patience to hold yourself from looking at women that are not lawful for you to look at. Right? Now, you need patience to prevent yourself from sinning. Is that clear? The third one is being patient concerning Allah's painful decree. An accident, a beloved, alaykum salam, someone you beloved dies, your parents pass away, your children pass away, your spouse passes away, some calamity that befalls you, whether in wealth or in health. These are from the decree of Allah. And they hurt. And there's nothing wrong with feeling sad. There's nothing wrong with feeling grieved when being afflicted with a calamity. It's not about how you feel, it's about how you act. And to what extent do you feel grief? Because we know from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when his son Ibrahim died, who was a youngster, young infant, he was small, when he died, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf was near the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told him, "You, O Messenger of Allah, you," meaning you crying, "you the Messenger of Allah, the one who accepts the decree of Allah, the one who has the most understanding of the deen of Allah, you crying?" So the Prophet ﷺ said, Ibn Auf, he called him by his kunya, "Oh Ibn Auf," he said, "what you're seeing is sentiment, that Allah placed in the heart of the believers. This you're seeing is mercy. Mercy from Allah. There's nothing wrong with that. Then he said, verily the heart grieves and the eyes with tears, but we will only say that which is pleasing to our Lord, which is inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So you're sad, but there's a difference of sadness. There's a person who's sad because you've lost a loved one. You see? But you don't stop doing salah. Huh? You don't say, why me? As many crazy people do. Why me? Why did I do? I become a Muslim. This is what I get. I don't want Islam anymore. I don't want God anymore. I don't want anything anymore. But khalas. Yani there. A'udhu billah there. As Allah described in the Quran, they worship Allah on a letter. As soon as the calamity befalls upon them, they fall off the edge of the mountain. They're unable to remain firm. So then you may feel sad, but you accept the decree of Allah. You hope in the reward with Allah. You know that this Allah had written upon every human being. Everyone will die. So when somebody related to you dies, you're not the first one and not the last one. There's nothing, it's not an affliction that is particular to you. This is from the wisdom of Allah that this is a sunnah with all of His creation. So there's no point in overreacting. You feel sad, but you conduct yourself in a right way. So then, these are the three levels of patience. Being patient in obeying Allah, being patient in staying away from disobeying Allah, and being patient concerning Allah's painful decree. Whatever Allah decreed, that will happen. طيب. فالصبر هو المعونة العظيمة على كل أمر. So patience is that great assistant regarding every affair. It assists you in every affair, being patient. فلا سبيل لغير الصابر أن يدرك مطلوبه. The person who does not have patience will never be able to attain that which he desires. You will never be able to get it unless you have patience. خصوصا الطاعات الشاقة المستمرة. Particularly the difficult acts of worship that are continuous. The difficult acts of worship that are continuous. فإنها مفتقرة أشد الافتقار إلى تحمل الصبر. It needs it's in dire need of having patience. يعني for example صلاة. You know, you pray, how many times you pray in your life? A lot, Yashin. If you really think about how often does a Muslim pray, you will find that you pray more than anyone else in the world. Really, the five daily prayers is an obligation. Then you have the voluntary prayers before and after. Then you have tahiyyat al-masjid if you enter the masjid. Then you have, if you pray at night, the witr and the tahajjud, and then the one we have in tarawih. This is, it takes work. You know, praying requires physical effort, spiritual effort, and mental effort. You have to make wudu, clean yourself, walk to the masjid, you know, in the heat often, stand in the prayer, wait for the salah. All this needs patience. In the salah, you have to move your body. Some brothers have pain in some parts of their body, so they have to endure the pain while they're sitting a particular way. Some of them cannot bow all the way because they have back problems. It's difficult for some. Then of course it's difficult in terms of memorizing. You have to memorize what you're going to say in the Fatiha and after, and if you're going to recite something afterwards, then in the ruku', then in sujood. Five times a day, unless you have patience, a person will not. And that's why you see people don't pray anymore, because they lost patience. They're unable to maintain. Subhanallah. So that requires patience, and the brothers must understand that. فإنها أيوة وتجرع المرار الشاقة فإذا لازم صاحبها الصبر فاز بالنجاح. And it's the Shaykh is saying that it's difficult, it requires patience, and it's bitter at times. So if the person, if the companion of that act of worship maintains patience, then he will be able to be successful. He will become successful. وَإِنْ رَدَّهُ الْمَكْرُوهُ وَالْمَشَقَّةُ عَنِ الصَّبْرِ وَالْمُلَازَمَةِ عَلَيْهَا لَمْ يُدْرِكْ شَيْئًا. And if because of the difficulty, a person abandons patience and being consistent with being patient, then he will not attain anything. وَحَصَلَ عَلَى الْحُرْمَانِ. Rather he'll be deprived. وَكَذَلِكَ الْمَعْصِيَةِ الَّتِي تَشْتَدُّ دَوَاعِ النَّفْسِ وَنَوَازِعُهَا إِلَيَّ وَهِيَ فِي مَحَلِّ قُدْرَةِ الْعَبْدِ. Now he was giving us an example of the first one, which is being patient in terms of obeying Allah. Now he's dealing with patience from regarding staying away from disobeying Allah. Then the Shaykh said here, that the sin that your soul desires, You know that by nature you have the tendency to desire a particular thing. Just for example, woman. This is a very classical example for the brothers. Woman, you know, there's a natural tendency and desire and attachment and you name it towards the female gender by Allah's wisdom and His creation. No one can change that unless someone has deviated from that. And so, if you don't, and especially if you're able, if the sin is feasible for you, like a woman who's offering herself to you, you see? Or you're in a position where you can do the wrong. You can do the haram. And your soul desires that by nature as a man. Your soul, yearns for that. Then the woman is agreeing with that. She wants that. So now you are in a very tough position that requires much patience on your behalf, to hold back from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فهذه لا يمكن تركوا إلا بالصبر العظيم. This you will not be able to leave alone unless you have great patience. You need to have great patience. And a classical example for that is Yusuf. Yusuf عليه الصلاة والسلام, Joseph, with the story of the lady that he was working for. He was a servant for the wife of Al-Aziz, and Al-Aziz was man of status in Egypt. And Yusuf was working for them after his brothers put him in the well, and then he was picked up by the people, he was sold. You know the story in Surah Yusuf in the Quran. The bottom line is that the woman in his house, man, she lost her mind over this man. And she closed the doors and she went after him. Now imagine she's his boss. Usually you want to please your boss, right? I mean, if your boss tells you something, people usually, alatul, they do it. Even if it's disobeying Allah, Allah musta'an. She's his boss. They say that she was very beautiful, okay? She's in control over him. He works for her. He's a young man, handsome, not married. Everything is there for him to say, to go for it. But he was running away from her. And she's telling you, come, she's telling him, come to me. He says, Ma'az Allah. Allah's refuge is sought. Innahu Rabbi akrama makwai. Verily it is my Lord. He had honored my status. He did not go for it. He ran away from the lady and he was imprisoned. And he went through all these difficulties so he would not disobey Allah. Although it was easy. It was right. It was accessible. It was feasible, but it required great patience. It takes great patience for someone to do that. But without patience, you'll not be able to be a real Muslim. You know, it was quoted that Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, Iman does not lurk in the heart of a man who does not have patience. No Iman. You can have no Iman unless you have patience. Patience is fundamental. It's that foundation on which you build your active worship, your refraining from sin, your accepting Allah's decree. Everything requires patience. It's very fundamental to know patience in our lives. And to practice patience, wallah musta'an. Sometimes, ya akhwan, we lose patience very quickly. And this is a very bad thing. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, advise me. قَالَ لَهُ لَا تَغْضَبْ. Do not be angry. قال له أوصني أو أنصحني أنصحني. Again he said, don't be angry. Again he kept telling him, don't be angry, don't be angry, don't be angry. Perhaps the Prophet ﷺ knew from this man the tendency to, as they call him, a short temper, a person with a short temper. So he kept telling him, don't be angry, don't be angry. Yani, try to contain yourself. And if you drive in Jeddah, you're about to become angry. If you drive out in the streets, man, أعوذ بالله, man. People will make you angry, the way they drive and everything. But you need to have patience. If you're married, you better have some patience, man. Otherwise, you're going to be angry. If you have children, you better have some patience. Otherwise, you're going to be angry. So, of course, we will fall short because of our shortcomings. But it shouldn't be our daily attitude to be, a person who's always angry. Because Allah praised those who contain their anger. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنْ النَّاسِ. And those who hold, they refrain, they suppress their anger and they pardon the people. pardon the people. يلا خليه يولي. معلش ما في مشكلة. It takes a lot of patience to be able to have this quality. You see? So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal by His beautiful names and ultimate attributes to grant us this particular quality that is much needed in this day and time with the fitna that we are living today. طيب. وكف لدواعي قلبه ونوازعه لله تعالى ونوازعها وكف لدواعي قلبه ونوازعها لله تعالى واستعانة بالله على العصمة منها فإنها من الفتن الكبار. نعم. So basically then you need to have patience in order to also prevent your heart from seeking that thing, because you know it all begins in the mind. You start desiring in your mind, you keep thinking and thinking and thinking about it until you do it. So you should, when the thought comes around, you should يعني avoid it على طول. طيب. And you should seek aid in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prevent you from that, to protect you from that, because really these are from the great trials. From the great trials, the sins which are accessible to you, you can do them and you don't. You know, these ones are big trial. Not that many people pass the test. Many people will fall, you know, they will fall into the traps of the shaitan and they will violate the sanctity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will sanctuary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will disobey Him and go into these sins. And sometimes once you get into this loophole, you cannot get out unless Allah saves you. Once you get into this loophole of, you know, especially fornication, adultery and everything, you fall into this loophole, it's a big, big circle, man. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, people repent. But it takes a lot of effort, a lot of sincere tawbah, a lot of acts of worship for someone to get out of this loophole. So from the beginning, a person avoids things that will lead to that. Avoid being in seclusion with women, avoid talking to women in a manner that is not befitting, you know, having friends and things of this nature, avoid chatting, you know, because this is one of the doors of the shaitan, text messaging back and forth, all these, you know, alaykum salam. We know that the hearts are very, very, very soft and weak. People fall in love in 5 minutes. People don't know this. You can fall in love with one text message. One sister, she may even make dua for you. She may say, may Allah reward you for all the goodness you've been doing for us. And you will melt on the floor. Say, oh, I think this is it. Right or wrong? That's the son of Adam. That's the son of Adam. Be careful now. You cannot change that. So don't put yourself in that predicament, because you will easily fall in love. People fall in love all the time, and then they fall out of love again. You can fall in love with Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Deen of Islam. It's allowed and it's obligatory. Now, did I tell you no falling in love, or did I say I was speaking in the context of the communication, the correspondence between a man and a woman, falling in love? And with the intention to get married, Alhamdulillah. But the problem is that the people want to do the whole thing before they get to the marriage. Yani the whole love is already complete in all aspects. And then they say, okay, now we get married. And this is wrong. You love someone, you love them long distance. Until you become spouses, then you can love them from close distance. Until then, they are things, because you know, people don't understand the seriousness of this thing. First of all, you would never accept this for your sister. You would never accept this for your sister, for some man to be in love with her, wallah, before he marries her. Because you don't know what will happen. The marriage may never go through. Then here's another calamity. A man will love a woman, and she will love him, on the premise that they will get married. Then Allah decrees that they do not get married. Okay, for whatever reason. The parents don't agree, problems, they travel, something along these lines. But they're already loving one another. Then another man will come to seek marriage from her, you know, ask for her hand, and her parents marry her off. And of course she wants to get married also, because she doesn't want to remain single. So she will marry this new man, but she still loves the old one. Pay attention now. She still loves the old one. And he will marry another woman, and he still loves her. So how do you think this household is going to be? Mushkila. Because anytime the man is going to ask something, she's going to think of her lover. Say, he wasn't lousy like you. She's not going to say that, because he'll throw her out the window. But she'll be thinking in her mind, you suck. You know, my boyfriend, the one I was supposed to get married, he was so lovely.
So they're not going to be able to get in harmony. Anytime there's a problem, she would call him. Listen, I fought with my husband. Come pick me up.
Yeah, Sheikh, then you know what happens. خلاص. And then they will have an extramarital relationship. Because they loved each other initially. Had they not reached that point, when the marriage thing did not work out, everybody goes in his own way. So there may be some attraction, but we don't want to build on that attraction until it becomes solid love before they are lawful to one another. You see what I'm saying? Very often people are not patient. Very often people fall into the sin. This is known. And no one can say, Wallah, I will be okay. Islam did not come for one and two individuals. It came for the majority of people. The majority of people are unable to deal with these situations right. The majority of people will fall into sin because of this love before they get married. So Islam came with guidelines that befit the society. Yes, there are some individuals who this does not affect them. They will love each other and nothing will happen. And they will really love each other until they get married. But this is the rare case.
But in this day and time, Musa, how could we, we know, give each other, get to know each other, if we don't have any contact or security or something like that?
Yeah, Habibi Abdul Hadi, knowing each other has guidelines. You are allowed to get to know the sister through the Islamic way in the presence of other people. Now, if the parents know that you're going to marry their daughter, there's not going to be any problem in you meeting their daughter. This is common sense. And they allow you to do that. You go to their house and they'll be there. You guys will be sitting on your own. It's not like the father's going to be sitting between you, trying to listen to your conversation. He'll be around there, all of you will be in a sala, and you'll be sitting not too close to her. You're on a couch, she's on a couch. You could speak, get to know each other with the presence of other men and other women, with the presence of family members. This is how you get to know her. And this is better. But the text message thing, man, this is considered seclusion. This is why the people don't understand. Islam made seclusion with a woman forbidden, right? Both in the physical sense and in the mental sense. When you're sending a text message to a sister, it's as if you and her are in the same room. You see? You can even be more romantic. Maybe you look scary. And through the text message, you will be much more romantic and much more attractive than if you were standing there in front of her. But yet, so these are things you have to keep in mind. Honestly, I guess personal experience, whatever. I'm scared, that's fine. Nothing to be scared of.
What is cell phone to be?
It is recorded.
Nice. Why? Why? There's moderation. You could send text message. It depends on the nature of the text message. If a man and a woman are speaking to one another on the phone or through text messages, as if they are sitting with each other. Because the whole idea of seclusion is the lack of availability of a third party, and which will become the shaitan. In this case, Prophet ﷺ said there's no man and woman with each other except the shaitan is there. Third. So this will bring the shaitan into the game. You see, your heart will become attached. You will not even know how to pray. If a sister sends you a text message before you did Salat al-Dhuhr, I challenge any brother to be able to pray right without his mind being in the text message, in the content of the text message. This is facts, man. No one can deny. Unless you're not a man. If you're not a man, then we don't even have a discussion. But if you're a normal man, this is normal behavior. You know this from before Islam, in Islam, and the whole time until you die. Even if you're 80 years old, that's a man. You cannot change him. So then because of this reality, you don't play with these things. You don't play with these things. So
you should not suffer.
For sure. And sabr, it takes patience. It's when the sister trying to keep in touch with you, and it's difficult, you have to say, listen sister, this is not allowed. Not allowed. Where's your wali? Where's your guardian? Let me go speak to your guardian. Be a man. Go find out who the wali is. Say, Akhi, I have interest in marrying your daughter. Something of this nature. Go through the door. Go through the front door. You go from the back door and you will get out from the back door. You come in and go out at the same time. You're not going to get the ultimate victory.
So there's one sister sending a text like this. They have... Stay away from me, don't send messages anymore.
Yes, because if you don't, you will not be able to get out.
Yes.
As soon as you open the door a little bit, she will come in like a bull.
Okay.
Hey, then you khalas, the shaitan will be sitting on top of your head and on top of her head. And try to get out of this loophole.
that even those who are involved in da'wah, even people involved in da'wah are exposed to this kind of fitna, man. A woman will call a brother on the premise that I'm seeking fatwa, I'm only trying to learn the deen. And he will think that everything is normal, soon to find out that there's something totally different in the making. Something is being cooked behind your back. And had you not been firm in the beginning, then you will not be able to get out afterwards. It becomes a big trouble, man. Some women are crazy. Okay, some women are crazy, they will go to extremes. So you know, that's what I'm saying. Brothers have to be, from the beginning.
But if she's more crazy, the man or the woman?
The woman.
I agree.
We don't care, yes, Sheikh. Until you're a man. If you have a problem with a woman, you will hate her in 2 minutes. And you will love another one the next day. But a woman, if she gets attached to a man, musibah. She's a big problem, man. She will chase you until you die. So you just have to, close the door from the beginning.
The question that you...
That's yes, yeah.
That the priest is sending a message to the girl. It is a priest, that priest.
A priest, yeah.
He's sending a message to a girl. It's about the Bible text. Before, it's a Bible text. And the signs go on. It's different. Then they met, then the girls become pregnant.
Yeah, yeah. It became Bible sex. It became Bible text, and then it became Bible. Ala tul. And he can quote any passage from the Bible that will help him, by the way. There's a lot of pornography in there. The books of Ezekiel and other chapters about Aloha and the other lady, whatever their name is. Like Yosef in Egypt. In Egypt, one of these Coptic priests, man, he had relation with over 1,000 women in the church, and he videotaped himself. The pictures were taken, the video camera. So you know what he was telling them? You know what the problem with these women were? They were barren. They were women who could not give birth. So he told them that, I will, if I do it with you, I will fix your problem. You will be able to produce children. Crazy people, man. In Egypt, it was a big deal. Go on and you find it on YouTube. It was on the main news, on the front pages of the newspapers, the picture of the man naked, Of course they have the blur, the area of the private parts blur, picture with women, all right. Thousands of Christian women were sleeping with the man in the church. In the church. On the holy plane. Yeah, and he's doing this he's helping her produce children in the future. Crazy stuff, man. So that's what I'm saying. That's the reality.
Yani, the bottom line is we need to go to Yani. We should be smart to meet step ahead for Islamically.
Yes, for sure. But we will be the ones who will regret and pay for it, and the cost may be expensive. I mean, people really sometimes they destroy themselves in this fashion. You would not be able to lead a normal life. Once a woman is involved in your life, and it is not under Islamic pretext of marriage, then you will be very, it will be difficult for you to maintain an upright life. You will become obsessed. And it will become an obsession. And it will become the thing that is on your mind before you sleep and after you wake up and during the salah and during umrah and during hajj and during fasting. This will be it will occupy you completely. This is a human nature. So we then, if you know that we are like this, then don't put ourselves in this predicament. Try to be very professional with the sister. Keep it strictly business. Don't open the door for things that are not necessary. You want to marry a sister, then go through the front door. Go through the right channel. Find out who her guardian is. If she's a revert, her parents are not Islamically, cannot be her guardians. You find an older brother of the community whom is trusted, who could represent her. You discuss with him your interest in marriage to this particular sister. Then he will, discuss it with her if she agrees that he will be her guardian. And then you go through the right channel. And then afterwards, khalas, once you're officially husband and wife, then you're fine. Then you have made it to the shore. Until then, you may drown any minute. Any minute you play around, you may drown. Ask the people who've been there and done that. And they will tell you that they wish they had never opened that door.
Last question, sir. If a woman or a sister of some they will ask or they express themselves yourselves to yani be one you took to marry.
Right.
And yani and then suddenly you push it's a man has an obligation here in the hereafter Lakera if she refused the guy and the woman delivered something like that I want to get married with you. And the result will refuse because some circumstances are behind. And after that, the woman will become, her life become yani because she has a feeling that
No way. Nothing. He is zero responsible. This is not his responsibility. If every woman, wallah, fell in love with him and he's unable to marry all women, then all of them say, wallah, you either marry me or I'm gonna go astray. You have some women like crazy. Either marry me or I'm gonna go prostitution. What do you want from me? If you want to go to prostitution, that's on your own account. If you don't want to pray anymore, you want to leave Islam because I don't want to marry you, that's on your own account. I have nothing to do with you.
So the man has no account?
The man has no, absolutely not. Otherwise, we would all be destroyed. If every time a woman felt like marrying a man, and then he told her that I'm unable to do that, he would be responsible for her misguidance, we will never get out.
How often do you say, you don't have to support me? Anything you
need
obligation for me, your life
is done. This is not
to
if the man is able to do that, if he can do that, let him do that.
You know that this woman that he made from the thing that you will do later.
If he's getting this kind of offer from a sister who's willing to say, I'll pay for my rent, I'll pay for my salary, I'll pay for my pay, you don't need to do anything except just marry me for the sake of Allah. As a third wife, as a fourth wife, nothing more than that.
Right.
Then if she wants, this is what is known as nisyar, where the woman gives up some of her rights or the man gives up some of his rights, you know, for the other party as long as these rights are not obligations. And this, I mean, it's not something haram, excuse me, not obligation, it's not something haram. This may be done, if the man is able to do so. Then it becomes istikhara. The brother does istikhara, seeks guidance from Allah, if he should go on with this marriage and this particular offer or not. No one can say it's good or not good, because it's situational. It may be good for this brother, it may destroy the other one, she may change her mind later, no one knows. So on these issues of marriage, very sensitive issues, istikhara is fundamental for the believer. You know, you pray salat istikhara, ask Allah to guide you. I don't know. No human being can tell you. We can tell you halal and haram, but no one can tell you whether it will be successful or not. This is from the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla, from the unseen. So if a sister offers herself in this fashion, there's nothing wrong with the believer accepting that. Women used to offer themselves to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A woman came and offered herself in marriage to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. He did not marry her. He found no interest in her. Tayyib. So that is Islamically acceptable, that a woman does that. But also there's, on the sister's behalf, there's ways of doing that as well, where she maintains her honor and she does not, she does not put herself in a situation that is not praiseworthy, which is another error that some of the sisters may fall into, that they belittle themselves and they lose their honor and dignity just because of their attraction to this particular man. So also, the sister should maintain, just to express her interest, not directly. Now, Abdul Hadi, not directly, wallah, send a text message to my brother, would you like to marry me? No. This must be also, her wali will speak on her behalf. She tells her guardian that I am interested in marrying this man. The guardian will speak to you, say this sister wants to marry you. Can you report it? Then someone like Shaykh Ahmad Firadalia is considered to be her guardian.
Okay.
Imam of a masjid, a senior person, or a person who's knowledgeable. It doesn't have to be an old man. Anyone who's knowledgeable and knows the deen, that you trust this person, then they can be the guardian.
Okay.
Man, it looks like we're having a wedding over here in the Dar es Salaam. All we talk about is marriage.
Yes, because it's a long story.
What is the reward of the wife who allows his husband to marry another woman?
So the woman that allows her husband to marry another woman?
The second wife is okay for him. She's the second wife.
Yeah, well, the reward is there isn't anything that mentions a particular reward in the Quran and the Sunnah that you'll be rewarded with such and such thing as we may have in other things. But this falls under the strength of Iman, and it falls under patience. And Allah says that the patience will be rewarded accordingly. Because it takes patience for a sister to agree that her husband marries a second wife. You see what I'm saying? It's not easy for the sister because they're jealous by nature. They want the man for themselves. She doesn't want to share him with another woman. You know, this is a natural, feminine attitude. So of course for a sister to agree with that, that requires patience on her behalf. And Allah will reward her for her patience. So that's what we know. But to say that she'll get يعني, a particular reward, 10,000 good deeds or something, there's no such narration as far as I know. نعم.
وكذلك البلاء الشاق خصوصا إذا استمر فهذا تضعف معه القوى النفسانية والجسدية ويوجد مقتضاها وهو التسخط إن لم يقاومها صاحبها بالصبر لله والتوكل عليه واللجؤ إليه والافتقار على الدوام.
I'm still same ayah 153. The Shaykh said, similarly, the great afflictions and tribulations, particularly if they are continuous, if they continue, if they're يعني they're sticking with the person, the soul becomes weak. The physical and the spiritual soul become weak unless you prevent them and you struggle. Specifically being يعني, displeased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the person does not strive against himself to be patient for the sake of Allah, to depend on Allah, to seek refuge in Allah, and to be in dire need to Allah, then the person may easily become among those who are rejectful of Allah's decree. They reject it, they become displeased with it, they don't act accordingly.
فعلمت أن الصبر محتاج إليه العبد بل مضطر إليه في كل حالة من أحواله.
So you know now that patience is something that the servant needs. Nay, rather he needs it in every one of his affairs. You are in dire need of it. Not only you need it, you're in dire need of it in every one of your affairs.
فلهذا أمر الله تعالى به.
This is why Allah the Exalted commanded that you have patience.
وأخبر أنه مع الصابرين.
And he informed that he is with الصابرين. He is with them.
أي مع من كان الصبر لهم خلقا وصفة وملكة.
Meaning he is with those who have patience either as a character, one of their characters is being patient, or an attribute, or something that you've born with, something that you've mulka. That's the closest meaning I can think of. Allahu a'lam.
بمعونته وتوفيقه وتسديده.
By the assistance of Allah and success granted by him.
فهانت عليهم بذلك المشاق والمكاره.
So difficulties became easy for them. Difficulties became easy for them.
وسهل عليهم كل عظيم.
And every great affair became simple for them.
وزالت عنهم كل صعوبة.
And every difficulty and harm was removed.
وهذه معية خاصة تقتضي محبته ومعونته.
الله أكبر. He says that this is a special kind of ma'iyah, being with. Allah is with the sabirin. That entails Allah's love and Allah's assistance. وَنَصْرِهِ وَقُرْبِهِ. And Allah's aid in granting victory to the patient one and being near to him.
وَهَذِهِ مَنْقَبَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ.
And this is a great lofty status or a title for the patient.
فلو لم يكن للصابرين فضيلة إلا أنهم فازوا بهذه المعية من الله لكفى بها فضلا وشرفا.
Had the patient people had no other virtue except that they received Allah being with them, except that Allah Azza wa Jal is with them, then this would be sufficient for them as honor, as means of honoring and نعم.
وأما المعية العامة فهي معية العلم والقدرة.
As for the general with being with of Allah Azza wa Jal, then it's the one that deals with knowledge and omnipotence.
كما في قوله تعالى وهو معكم أينما كنتم.
As Allah says in the Quran, and He is with you wherever you may be.
وهذه عامة الخلق. And this is general for the whole creation.
Now when we say He is with you wherever you may be, that does not mean that Allah is with us at the da'wah center, and that Allah's with us on earth. As it is the belief system of the deviant and the ignorant. Rather, we believe, as Allah instructed us in the Quran and through the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is above the creation, above the seven heavens, above the throne, in a manner which befits His Majesty. There is nothing like unto Him, and there is nothing similar to Him, and He is not like the creation, and the creation is unlike Him. You must know this. There is nothing like Allah. So when you think about Allah being above the creation, you cannot think about a human being above the creation. And when we say Allah is above the throne, you cannot imagine someone, a king, sitting on a throne. Why? Because Allah taught you in His book, there is nothing like Him. So your imagination is void, it's in vain, it's pointless, and it's going to take you nowhere. So then we don't deny what Allah says in the Quran, as many ignorant people say, Allah is everywhere. Allah is everywhere. Allah is not everywhere. This is the belief system of the philosophers who believe in this, it's called pantheism. Pantheism, which is basically wahdat, everything is God. This is yani Hindu ideologies and very deviant things. So we as Muslims, you know, reject these in totality. وأمر تعالى بالاستعانة بالصلاة أن الصلاة هي عماد الدين ونور المؤمنين وهي الصلة بين العبد وبين ربه. Then Allah commanded that we seek assistance in salah, because salah is the pillar of the religion, and it is the light of the believers, and it is the connection between the slave and his Lord. فإذا كانت صلاة العبد صلاة كاملة مجتمعا فيها ما يلزم فيها وما يسن وحصل فيها حضور القلب الذي هو لبها فصار العبد إذا دخل فيها استشعر دخوله على ربه. So if the salah was established perfectly, with everything that is required from the obligations and from the voluntary aspects of the salah, along with the heart being present and the khushu' attaining submissiveness in the salah, then verily the servant, when he enters into the salah, he feels like he is entering upon his Lord. Yani you're entering into the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal, where you are asking Him and being you're being guided by Him, and you're seeking His, you're worshipping Him. You see what I'm saying? This is what is intended, not in the literal sense, of course. فوقوفه بين يديه موقف العبد القادم المؤدب المتأدب. So then you feel like you're entering upon your Lord, the same way a person may enter into the, you know, the royal palace of the king. And you're standing between Allah's hands, Azza wa Jal. The standing of a slave, servant, who's in total respect. Yani, and just to give you the worldly example, unto Allah belongs the highest and the best example. If you were to go to meet, you know, the president of the Philippines or something like that. She's a lady, right?
Yeah.
Would you go wearing your pajamas?
No.
When you go there, you know, she's sitting on her, you know, fancy chair. If she's speaking to you, or you're speaking to her, you know, would you be speaking to her like this?
So yeah, we'll be telling you, you know, that the Philippines needs, you know, we need some more natural resources. You know, the phone rings while you're talking to her, right?
You know, the phone rings while you're talking to her,
okay. So yeah, so anyways, so what would happen to you, man?
Okay.
She's gonna throw you out of the cinema and get out of here, man. Who is this guy? You want me crazy people in the morning?
Okay, we'll get calls.
Yeah.
So what? How would you stand? You'd be wearing your thing and you're standing. You won't even blink your eyes. You'd be standing like this the whole time. Why? Because yeah, she's a, and this is who? Some president of the Philippines. Not even a Muslim, not even someone who deserves your spit, let alone something more than that. Obviously, if she was a Muslim, we'd have another thing to say about her. So, but this is then reality, right? But when it comes to the salah, all this is fine. All this is fine. All these things that you will not do to a king or a queen of the world, but the people will do this with the king of the whole creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, we ask Allah to forgive us and pardon us for our shortcomings. But this is a fact. And why? Because there is no understanding of the salah. And there's no understanding of what you're saying in the salah. And there's no understanding of the reality of the salah. The fact that Allah observes you, watches you, listens to you, responds to you. All of these are absent. We're absent about these facts. This is why the salah to us is dead. It is only merely physical movements. Had we understood right, then we would not conduct ourselves in this fashion. مستحضرا لكل ما يقول وما يفعله. You bring into mind everything that you say, everything that you do. And you can think about that in the salah. When you do ruku', or when you go down in sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember that Allah has blessed you among all of His creation to make you someone who... Because you, akhi, you have to understand, people are worshipping something one way or another. Everybody, every human being worships something. They're either worshipping the one who deserves to be worshipped, or they're worshipping that which does not deserve to be worshipped. So when Allah chose you to be among those who worship the one who deserves to be worshipped, then Allah has honored you over the same, over the person who may prostrate to a statue, or one who does it to Jesus, or one who does it to Mary, or one who does it to the Pope, one who does it to the saint, one who does it to an idol, to a cow. People are worshipping something, false gods, that cannot benefit them or harm them, and cannot do anything for them, but Allah chose you to prostrate to Him. This is honoring from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must bring that to mind. Then you feel that while the false deviant servants are worshipping their false God, you are worshipping the one true God. The one that the Prophet ﷺ worshipped, the one that Abraham worshipped, the one that Moses worshipped, the one that Jesus worshipped, the one that Adam, everybody, all of these righteous people, they're worshipping the same God that you're worshipping. Or you worshipping the same God that they were worshipping. This is a big deal. If you were to think about that in the salah, that this is the sujood that you're falling down, that Allah sees you. That act of going down, and this is the most humiliating thing that a person does, putting your face, your forehead, the most honorable part of your body, is your face. Putting it on the floor, going down on the floor. This is humiliation, except to Allah. It is honoring. But to anyone else, it's humiliation. If you were to prostrate to a human being, people will think, no, nobody will talk to you afterwards. So what's wrong with you, man? You know, people will look down on you because of this, you know, act. Because this is only befitting to Allah. So these are some of the things that we should be thinking about during our prayer. For the salah to be right. Then if you do the salah right, you'll be able to lead a righteous Islamic life. Otherwise, just doing the salah as an obligation because you're worried about the consequence of not praying, it will be okay, but you will not attain the ultimate benefit. And your iman will not be sound in the ultimate way. مُسْتَغْرِقًا بِمُنَاجَاتِ رَبِّي وَدُعَائِ. So you're drowning in the fact that you are you're seeking Allah's guidance and you're supplicating to Him. لَا جَرَمَ أَنَّ هَذِي الصَّلَاةُ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ الْمَعُونَ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْأُمُورِ. There is no doubt that this kind of salah is one of the best means of assistance in every one of your affairs. If you do salah in this fashion, it will help you in all of your affairs بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. فإن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. Verily, salah prevents you from doing evil deeds, having illicit relations with women, or anything that is abhorrent or unacceptable Islamically. ولأن هذا الحضور الذي يكون في الصلاة يوجب للعبد في قلبه وصفا وداعيا يدعوه إلى امتثال أوامره ربه. And because this presence of the mind and the heart in the salah will necessitate for the servant to have this tendency to want to obey his Lord. You start feeling that you really want to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You look forward to that. واجتناب نواهي, and avoiding Allah's prohibitions. هذه هي الصلاة التي أمر الله أن نستعين بها على كل شيء. This is the kind of salah that Allah has commanded us to seek aid with over regarding all of our affairs. It is this kind of salah. And Allah, يعني, you know from experience that the people are of two kinds. You know, subhanAllah, when someone has been guided by Allah, as Allah says, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Whoever Allah wants to guide, He will open His chest for Islam. You will find individuals, man, that look forward to learning so they can implement. Yani you meet a brother who's no Muslim or something like that, and he doesn't know the ruling regarding something. As soon as you tell him, some brothers, ya akhi, subhanAllah, Allah will put delight in their heart. Delight in their heart to fulfill that obligation. You know, we know this from experience that some people, when we told them that, you know, that your pants being below your ankles is haram, 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 forbidden, akhi. You're not allowed to do that, okay? Now, people are one of two kinds, depending on their iman. You will find a group of believers who will, as soon as he knows, he cannot stop thinking about when he's going to go to the tailor. You see? He's excited. He wants to do it. He's hastening to please Allah. He learned something new and he knows this is means of pleasing Allah and staying away from the disobedience of Allah and his displeasure. His mind, his heart is racing. Alator, as soon as he goes home, he brings all his bags from this thing, boom, 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 put them in the bag, and he goes in the street walking around. Where's the tailor? Where's the next tailor? Here. Making sure. While the tailor is doing them, he's standing there happy. Happy. As soon as the tailor is done, he put on his pants. Oh, mashallah, mashallah, alhamdulillah. He feels that he had just fulfilled one of the rights of Allah. He's happy. This is versus the other individual. I will say, oh man. But, yeah, but. That's exactly what it is. It's a but. That's what it is. Ya akhi, and this tomorrow, the day after, next week, the next month, the month after, the procrastination. Until يعني, he finds no exit. Until Allah decrees that it happens. And sometimes it never does. We are one of these two. One of these two. So we must understand. If we are the second kind of individual, it's because we're not really sound. Iman is not sound. It is not miya miya yet. It has a lot of problems. Otherwise, Iman will call you to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The salah, as soon as you know. And wallahi, we've met these people. You see them in the masjid. Many brothers, alhamdulillah, they come. I'm speaking about personal experience. This is personal experience, yeah, Shaykh, not the other one. Personal experience, the brother, you know, stand there. I told him one time, an Egyptian brother, he was standing with his pants below his ankles. So he folded them in the salah. I told him, Yaqi, it's not allowed. The Prophet ﷺ prohibited that you fold your clothes in the salah. The Prophet ﷺ prohibited that you fold your clothes in the prayer. Okay? And then if you leave them down, then they'll be below the ankles. So you have no exit except to tailor them. You see what I'm saying? If you fold them, you're falling into one prohibition. If you leave them, then you're falling into another prohibition, which is having your pants below the ankles. What is the outlet? What is the exit? Getting them shortened. Tailoring them in this particular fashion. That way, you don't have to fold anything in the salah. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to fold anything in the salah. And at the same time, by nature, your pants will be above the ankles. The brother, I told them one day, he said, yes, wallahi, I know. And I went to the tailor, but he did not fix them well enough. The next day, I seen him standing in the salah, the next day, with his pants, miya miya. And then the day after, another pair of pants. Pay attention, not like he fixed one. The same thing. Khalas, the man took it upon himself. When he learned something, there's no delay. Ala tool, he put it into practice. And others, I've been advising them for months, not for years. And every time we see him, they're still in the same predicament. Still waiting, still delaying, still thinking I'll do it next week, next month, and next year. See, tricked by the shaitan. Trapped by the shaitan. And obedience to Allah is not in the ultimate sense, so the person will be falling over and over again. So these are the things that this is how you evaluate yourself. You have to do self-evaluation, self-assessment. Where do I belong? Under which category am I under right now? Am I under those who are hastening to obey Allah and stay away from His prohibitions? Or am I under those who are always procrastinating, delaying, and really have a problem with Allah's commands and prohibitions? So, you know, whichever one we are, if you're on the first one, then praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah for more goodness and more guidance and continue on your way. If we belong to the second category, then we must do some modification. We must fix our situation. We must change our ways, and that requires two things: repenting to Allah from our shortcomings, leaving alone these sins and these shortcomings. Second, doing a lot of good deeds and avoiding a lot of bad deeds for our iman to increase. Because this is among the means of increasing one's faith. And once your faith is increased, then it will be easy for you to carry out the obligations and stay away from the prohibitions. So with that, inshallah, we'll conclude next week with... Oh! Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.